WildTalkRadio.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Monday Night Raw.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
If you're the man, what the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got 2 words for ya!
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
I don't know anymore. This is the Raw Post Show presented host by MBG Films, YouTube.com. So it's MBG 1211. We're on the road to Raw in Mexico, which is next week. SmackDown's in Mexico City this Friday. And there's Triple Mania as well happening. So much wrestling. We're here to talk about Monday Night Raw as we gear up for those shows, which had a big title match, which we'll get into here tonight. Anyway, I am the producer, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
It was a Raw, y'all. It was a Raw. We are on the road to Raw in Mexico, but also Money in the Bank. And I will say this. This was a Raw full of vision.
It was a Raw full of vision. Who opened up Monday Night Raw? They're all back together. The vision is complete, says Bron Breakker, and that they run a WWE. The fans wanted Oba, but he's not medically cleared. Bron Breakker says he's the future, and he showed it why he is the future of WWE, and it says all thanks to his brother, Bronson Reed. Reed said Oba thought he was untouchable, but it put him in the possible. Reed said Oba called himself the ruler, but sometimes you run into someone who doesn't recognize the crown. Reed said they decide what happens in WWE. Logan Paul says they're unstoppable. Theory says the fans hate to see them shine. Maxine said they're all jealous. Tozawa comes out. They laugh. Austin Theory is like, you want a match, right? Yeah, that's what you want? Tozawa's like, yeah, but you're not fighting me. You're fighting the returning Otis. So it was Otis and Austin Theory. Otis gets the win by disqualification. It's a beatdown on Otis and a beatdown on Tozawa. Oba Femi is shown returning to the building. He shoves Petey Williams down to the ground. He pie-faced him. Oba clears the ring. You see the taped ribs. Theory hit Oba with a chair from behind. No sold it. Cleared him out, but Bron Breakker hit a spear. And then a bunch of tsunamis later, Oba Femi is down on the ground. The vision stands tall. Thoughts?
This was good. It's nice to see the vision getting a little bit of its mojo back. And you having me sort of standing strong, that was nice. LeMann says that Theory and Maxine don't fit the faction no matter how hard WWE tries. I mean, you could spin Logan Paul and Maxine and Theory off and have them do their own thing and have it be the Bronze, essentially. And they could stand on their own. I think that would be fine. But I think you do need to have a little depth in the group. Like, I think Theory and Maxine bring something to the group, which is Theory is likely going to become the whooping boy of the Vision with Bronson back and with them pushing Braun and Bronson pretty hard. So Theory is likely to become sort of like, I almost want to say the JD of the group because I don't have another comparison, but I feel like that's going to be his role in his place. And that's fine for him. Because I think they've tried to do something with him. I don't know if they're going to continue to push on him, but like, who knows? Let's see. I really hope this doesn't lead to Oba teaming with Alpha Academy to feud with the Vision, because that's a I don't know if it is. Like, I think Oba teaming with Otis, especially if they're trying to redeem Otis and Tozawa for that matter, I think they should be given a chance.
It is, like, it is a step down. They're not going to redeem them. They're just whooping
boys. I know that. But I think they should still be given a chance to try. Like, I think to just go ahead and judge it and say, oh, it's going to be shit because they are a step down, it's like, well, at least give them the shot.
I mean, if they just stand in the corner and make it seem like it's an even match, sure, but it's Oba. If it happens, a six man, Oba destroys and they just stand there. But right, I don't see them teaming. They don't need a team. This was just to continue a feud and maybe get another tag team title match out of it. That's about it. But because they left them laying at, there's no redemption for Tozawa and Otis.
I guess my question would be, if it's not Tozawa and Otis, who is it?
He don't need anybody.
I feel like with Oba does need the backup, though, just a little bit. At least to have, like, allies.
Okay. After maternity leave, or paternity leave, the Prophets, that's who you bring in. But they gotta come back from paternity leave, because they've both had kids.
Yes.
Because that would make the most sense, because they have history with the Vision. They took the belts. And then that's a strong six man that you can run.
I would agree with that. I would say this, that like Braun hitting the spear on Oba still looks like a sack of potatoes. Like Braun just hitting a sack of potatoes. Like it's just, it doesn't have the same like velocity and impact as what it does on smaller people. So it looks like Braun is just hitting a wall and the wall just happens to fall over.
Remember the internet lost their shit when Matt Matthews was announced for Raw?
Yeah.
Boy, he really took away from this show. He was being interviewed. Miz interrupted with Kit Wilson. He got to do one move, and then Miz laid him out with a skull-crushing finale.
Simple yet effective?
There was nothing to worry about, internet. Anyway, Braun Breaker, Rey Mysterio, Ethan Page, Money in the Bank qualifier. With Braun Breaker qualifying for Money in the Bank. The right call.
This is a good show. Yeah, it was the right call.
In the women's qualifier with Sol Ruka, Lyra Valkyrie, Maxine Dupree, Sol Ruka pinned Lyra to qualify. Lyra had it won, but the referee was pulled out. The return of Bayley to Monday Night Raw. And she put a whooping on Lyra and was going to powerbomb her through the table. Not so much. Lyra bailed, but Bayley is back in WWE and on Monday Night Raw. It looks like she's resigned.
I mean, good for Bayley. Happy to see her. She's back. She looks really good. I'm curious to see where they take the feud between her and Lyra. I thought the match itself was really good.
It was a good match.
Like, I think Sol's the right call.
Yeah.
You know, 100%. No offense to anybody else that was in there, but like, Sol Ruka is definitely the right call for Money in the Bank. But yeah, we'll see where Lyra and Bayley go.
Funko Pop head JD McDonagh took on Joe Hendry. Joe Hendry got the win. Javon Evans showed up, even at the odds. Joe Hendry did a Funko Pop as JD's real father song. It was something.
It was there. It was a thing. It happened.
It happened. Paul Heyman was backstage with the Vision. He hugged Bronson Reed. He said you shook the WWE Universe on your first night back and went even bigger on your second night. He was very proud of him. Breaker told Heyman, you know, Oba's finished and his brother is back. All things are good. The future of WWE is secured. Heyman then had one question. Is Oba Femi still breathing? Braun Breaker realized, yep. Yes, he is.
Which means he's going to get back up and he's going to whoop your ass.
Sure is.
We'll see if Heyman comes back into the fold or not. If they can sort of lure him back in, or maybe Oba gets a little help from the wise man. We'll have to see.
Becky Lynch was backstage in Stephanie Vaccaro's dressing room. Vaccaro was wondering why Lynch was there. She talked about returning to Chile for a show and encouraged her to accept help. Vaccaro took offense at the idea that she would owe Lynch anything. Vaccaro said she respects Becky, but she wouldn't ask for her help. Lynch told her to go back to Chile as a loser. So that backfired for for Becky. She then later ran into Liv Morgan, who asked her if she was listening to her advice and going home and being a good mommy. Morgan said she had worried for a minute that Lynch and Stephanie would team up and to take her out, but she remembered that Becky is selfish and no one likes her. Becky left frustrated. It was then Liv Morgan and Stephanie Vaquer for the WWE Women's World Championship. Really good match between both women. You had the Devil's Kiss on the table, which was very awkward.
Yeah, it was super duper awkward.
Because they're trying to show the move, and it's hard because you're trying to hide the slapping of the hand on the table. So there's one, either you go in behind Stephanie or you go behind Liv to show it. So they're cutting back and forth, and mainly they cut behind Liv, and then you're seeing her ass on TV, just right there. Awkward camera positioning because you can't like zoom out, and that is just because it nullifies the impact. Like in the ring, you can, but here you can't because it's on the table. Anyway, Roxanne and Raquel came out. Raquel got ejected. Becky chased Roxanne out. Roxanne, though, slid the belt to Liv Morgan. She hit Stephanie with the belt, and she retained her championship.
Thought the match was good. Like, it was fine. The Devil's Kiss on the table, it looked good, but it was awkward. I will say sometimes, or generally, they do shoot it with Stephanie's ass in the frame.
Yes.
Gratuitously, I might add. So that, but the flipping back and forth was weird. It was awkward. I didn't enjoy it. At this point, I don't care about Liv. I'm sorry. I hate to like say that. I don't care because the matches, to Brent's point, are one note. Everything she does pretty much has interference. She can't win on her own. It's very clear she can't do that based on the way that they're writing her. Like, the one time that she did it almost looks like a fluke. And it's boring. I'm sorry. It's boring. Like, the match was good. The match was fine. But I feel like this was a little bit of a waste. I understand it's a title match on Raw, and so they're not going to go through all the stops. But this, honestly, is a little bit of a waste of time at this stage. Like, just don't book Liv. Just don't book her if this is what you're going to do.
We learned that Kalani Jordan and Lola Vice will be on Monday Night Raw next week. In a qualifying match for Raquel Rodriguez. Penta sent his final messages to Roman Reigns ahead of the world title match next week on Monday Night Raw. Big Cass claimed he wants to be a champion. He's going to be in a qualifying match next week as well, and that's why he returned to WWE. Now, the running theme through the show, as Lindsay mentioned, was the Vision, but it was also the Bloodline and the 946. I think it's 946. I believe that's what they're calling them. Their area code. So we open up with the Usos arriving in their big car and everything. The Usos had a bat and a pipe, and they're all mean and upset and frustrated. And they get to a point where they find Jacob Fatu backstage, and he stopped them from basically calling out the 946. He said, "I know exactly what they wanted to do, and the 946 have nothing to lose." Fatu said he understands the play because he comes where they come from. Jay asked what they should do. Fatu said the best thing to do right now is that Jay was really adamant about following Jacob tonight. "We're going to run this play. We're going to run the play slow." Jay's really on board. So we go back later. We're backstage. LA Knight is talking with Adam Pearce. He wants to face the winner of Roman Penta, which probably sets up LA Knight versus Roman Reigns and Money in the Bank. Mm-hmm. Solo had a bandage on his forehead, and they were talking, and Knight asked her, "Are you good?" And Solo said he was, and then he knows how dangerous Royce Key is. Solo asked if Knight had his back. Knight said he did, but he said they should wait things out and pick the bones. Solo's like, "With all due respect, I don't know if I can wait." So as we continue on, the backstage with the Usos in their locker room, and Jacob said that's what Keys wants them to do, because there's a video of them. They're outside the building, and Keys had told Jacob to let the two bitches off their leash. So they're getting, Usos are pissed off. Jacob's like, "Just trust me on this one." Jay said they had their location. They said just sit back and be disrespected by what they did, by them calling them bitches. Fatu said blood would be spilled again, and just trust me. Jay's like, "I trust you." Jimmy was frustrated on the couch. And as we continue through, Jimmy asked Jacob if the play was to hide all night. Jay has said, "Hell no." Jay asked Fatu if he was riding with them or not. And he was, as the Usos came and Jacob came to the ring. He asked if any of them have the balls to come up and step up and fight them. We then get a camera shot of Royce Keys and the 946 in the parking lot. bunch of security laid out on the ground. Bronco was on top of the SUV. Keyes had asked if the car belonged to the Usos. And on that note, they start smashing the windows of the SUV. Then they had a gas can, poured it on the sunroof. Y'all said I was crazy. Nah. He then has a lighter, throws it at the SUV windows. Like I said, ain't nobody safe. And then the car burns to end Monday Night Raw. I was expecting like Solo to be like in the trunk or backseat crawling out of a smoking car. That's what I thought was going to happen as they lingered on it for a minute. Mm-hmm. But no, it was just the car being on fire, which is a great closing, great cliffhanger that they're like, hey, we're this group where we don't take no shit and we're going to shake things up. I liked it.
I thought it was good. I thought it helped to establish the group a little bit more in terms of being dominant.
Yeah.
And it's putting the Uso version of the bloodline on the back foot because it feels like Keyes has their number, and without Roman, they look a little foolish and kind of entirely incapable, but in a good way, where it's maybe Jay and Jimmy are not who Roman thought they were. Maybe they weren't the best pick after all. And it's kind of proving that maybe Roman should have gone to Jacob about it. And it could be setting it up that maybe Roman gives Jacob the shot. Maybe not. We'll have to see. But I like how they're doing it. And they are making Royce Keyes' group look more dominant. They definitely set him up as the leader here. He felt like a leader. He looked like a leader, which is important. So it's an improvement based on the debut, which I definitely applaud. Because, again, you really only have one shot at this, so you have to make sure it comes across correctly. It seems that they did this time pay the bill on the car and bought the car for it to be wrecked, unlike last week, or week before last, where they drove off and the car didn't get messed up. And Jacob didn't throw the sledgehammer like he should have. My only criticism of the car thing.
Go for the tires.
Slash the tires, man. Slash the tires. But only three. And if you know, you know.
I thought it was good. Close the show.
It was the excitement that the show needed. It was the cliffhanger the show needed. And it's like, okay, so where do we go from here? What's really going to happen next week? It was all real good. I enjoyed it.
Next week's a big show.
It is.
We got a big one.
Making it feel important.
I mean, Friday we got CM Punk versus Sami Zayn for the WWE Championship. Monday we got Penta versus Roman Reigns on TV for the World Championship. The rarity that Roman Reigns does not wrestle on a PLE. His second time wrestling on Netflix in a year and a half. And more Money in the Bank. But that was Monday Night Raw.
And tonight's Triple Mania.
There is two nights of Triple Mania. But that'll do it for the Raw Post Show Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. There is no Rack on Thursday because Lindsay's out of town, but Saturday night CB Radio is live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Sunday night is WTR, Sunday night Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern, and we'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show. When Raw ends, we are live to talk all about it. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat it. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming. It's not Twitch Prime. It's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use credit card Rock and Talk or
Lynn's M Ward.
In the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsward, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Linsward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SimaLinsward. And you can follow me on TikTok, Linsward0.
This has been a Raw Post Show. Presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG12LO. Chat, we'll see you right back here for the Raw Post Show every Monday night. Except when the Eagles are on. Live for here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.